Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
So we're in this series, More Than, and this morning, just to dive in real quick, I want to talk to you about the subject of more than what seems impossible. Every day, there's over 100,000 flights that occur across the globe. Over 6 million people will be upon those commercial airlines and private planes going from place to place, averaging speeds of over 300 miles an hour, flying at over 30,000 feet. And 100 years ago, that wasn't even thought about. The concept of that was crazy. But two brothers turned science fiction into science fact. And I don't know if you know how it all began, but it began on an autumn day in 1878 when a dad had come home from work, Bishop Milton Wright, and he, on his way home, he came across a little toy that he took to his two boys. It was a miniature bamboo helicopter. The boys were excited. They grabbed it, went outside to play and to investigate with this new toy that their dad had brought home. But after just a couple flights, man, the thing crashed and burned, and it was done. I bought one of my boys a remote control an airplane, and we had the bright idea to go out mid-afternoon, like on his birthday, to fly this thing in western Kansas when the wind was like 30 miles an hour, man, and it, one flight. We beat the Wright brothers. At least they got a couple. We only got one. But anyway, instead of giving up once their toy broke, they began to work and to dream and began to put their hands to a task. And they built their own helicopter. And 25 years later, Orville sat in his seat and was airborne for a whopping 12 seconds. The first powered flight. And as we say, the rest is history. And a small toy helicopter gave us the airline industry, gave us the ability to fly to back to United States from Bogota, Colombia, just a week ago in under 6 hours. You can barely drive across Kansas in 6 hours. It gave us the FAA and all the luxuries that we enjoy. And so next time you take to the friendly skies, remember it all began with what was considered an impossibility. And Aaron built that plane that you're flying on. That's the rumor from our trip in Colombia anyway. So today I want to talk to you about more than what seems impossible. Go with me, if you're not there, to Romans 8 as we head to the end of one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, a chapter that begins with one of the greatest declarations in all of Scripture. And it's this, Romans 8:1, and it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you believe that? That if you're a Christian, do you believe that? That it is impossible for the Christian to be in a state of condemnation in their relationship with God. You're like, "Yeah, but Steve, I've done this, this, and this." Yeah, but people think this, this, and this. Oh, I would like to, but what does it mean to be saved? Does it mean God saved me from my sins? Yes, that's part of it, true, right? But God he's done so much more than that. Your salvation is so much more than that. Not to minimize that at all, but it is just a portion of what your salvation entails. And I hope that as we walk through the remainder, or as if we've walked through Romans 8, we've allowed these messages to get into our heart, that we've ruminated upon the truths of Scripture in our mind. Maybe you went back and you listened to a message and just hashed it back out. You've opened up Romans 8 and it looks different in the pages of your Bible because it's all highlighted in different ways, and there's notes written all over it because God has spoken something to you specifically for a situation, that you're more than your mistakes, you're more than your title, you're more than your temptations, you're more than your suffering, you're more than your setbacks. That you understand all that God has done, and the good news of the gospel becomes literally the best news ever. Better than the Broncos finally beating the Chiefs. I had to throw it in there. Today I want us to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 34, as this chapter is building. And as Paul is writing, listen, as Paul is writing, it's almost like he's a trial attorney giving his closing argument. He is building this case of grace, a sense of Romans 8:1 being true. It's almost like he's the manager with the fighter in the corner talking before the final round of the fight, saying, listen to this truth. I want you to get it. Throwing a series of just last punches, if you will. And he does so by asking three questions. The first one being this: what then shall we say of these things? Look at it, verse 31. What shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What things is Paul talking about? Well, you could say, and shout out and a thank you to Pastor Levi for preaching a portion of chapter 8, 28 through 30 for us 2 weeks ago prior to Ty being with us. And then I looked at verse 28 prior to that, but it says this: and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those who he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What do you say in response to that? That God is constantly working. That he's working to our good. That he's working before you and preparing for you what is to come. What are you going to say to the reality, to the truth of Scripture, that God loved you before you were even present? What are you going to say to that? That before you even thought of God, or God was on your radar, or considered giving your life to Christ, that he was just all over you with his love for you. What are you going to say that God chose you before time began? That he wanted you on his team, he wanted you in his family before you could even prove or disprove yourself to him. What are you going to say that God called you? Some of you are like, impossible, because you know you. I mean, when someone calls you, it's just special, is it not? I mean, you know, about 32 years ago, in August of 1992, it was a different millennia, it seemed like, but a long time ago, but I remember on a Sunday afternoon, I was just home from church, sitting in an empty house by myself because I lived alone in a small town in western Kansas. All my family, all my friends were back in Colorado, and we did church that morning and had come back from camp, and all of a sudden my phone rang, and I was like, that didn't happen very often, you know, back then. Because long-distance calls were like $1.99 a minute. So you called with intentionality. And all of a sudden, my phone rang, and I went and picked it up. And I said, hello. And there was this voice on the other end that said, hello, Steve. And I sat up, And I said, speak to me again, please. Call me by name or whatever, right? And it was Robin. I mean, I'll never forget that first phone call. I was like, don't hang up. He forgave you of every sin, past, present, and future. Impossible, some would say. I can't even forgive myself. But then he clothed you with righteousness, his righteousness. When God sees you, he sees you as the righteousness of Jesus. You're more than what seems impossible. You could look at it that way, and that wouldn't be wrong to look at it that way, but perhaps Paul is thinking about all that he's written thus far in the book of Romans. Perhaps he's thinking about Romans 1:16 that says that, do you remember that verse that says that, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. This gospel, when it's preached, when it's lived, it has the power to transform, to raise the dead, to just, not just to make us different, but to make us new. It's the power of God to everyone who believes. What do you say about that? What, then you look at verse 17 that says, for it, in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the righteous shall live by faith. What do you say to these things? God did that for you. It's available to you. It can change you. You're more than what seems impossible. You see, the gospel comes to people who are self-righteous and putting their confidence in their own works, but it also comes to the one who doesn't even believe that there's a God. And both of those parties are on the same level, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 9 and 10 tell us that, right? And you say, oh, I've never been good enough to be in right standing with God, so I'm not going to try. I'm not interested. And Romans chapter 3, verse 21 would say to you, but now God has chosen us a way, shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago, where we were made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. For everyone who has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard, yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of sin. What do we say such things? Impossible? You are more than what seems impossible. What is the result of this? Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are at peace with God. Listen to me this morning. No matter what's going on in our life, what's going on in our world, and all the cray-cray going on in our world, and is this the end of the world, or what's going to happen after the elections, and all this stuff that we get worked up about. Listen, because of Christ, because of more than, it's possible to have peace in the midst of everything. What else could Paul be thinking about? Romans 6:22, but now you have been set free from sin. God is working in you. What seemed impossible becomes possible because of who is in you. He's doing in you what you could have never done in yourself. You can't perfect the flesh. I'm just going to try a little harder. I'm going to put a zapper on me, and if I say a cuss word, whatever I can do. How many know you can't perfect the flesh? I was looking at some of those pictures, and I was like, man, stink. My side of my head is shiny. It's gray. I'm like, that's my flesh crying out, you can't perfect me, you're getting old. But man, people try, perfect the flesh, don't they? They dump hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to, you know, get their face to go back up to where they used to be and all that stuff. You can't perfect the flesh. Flesh can't look like joy. The flesh can't produce the fruit of the Spirit. Then he goes on to say there in Romans 6, and have become slaves to God, and benefit the benefit you reap leads to holiness. What shall we say of these things? Paul asks. God is at work. He has done in us what we could never do in ourselves. God, very God, making you like Jesus. Romans 7, we saw that the law can't condemn you. It has no jurisdiction over a dead person because you have died to it. We laugh about it. We're grateful for it, but a dead person can't get a speeding ticket. Amen? At least I'm grateful for it. There's one time in my life I won't be guilty of speeding. It's when I die. What shall we say then? Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen to me this morning. The God who liberated you isn't going to condemn you. That's what Paul is saying. That's the weight of chapter 8. What shall we say when you think of everything else we've touched on in Romans 8? The impossible becomes possible. Why? Because you're more than. Because of him. Because of what he's done. Second question Paul asks, if God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let me rephrase it this way, if I may. Is there any power that can circumvent God's work in you? Say it with me. God is for us. Say it. Say it again. God is for us. Say it one more time, just in case you didn't get the first time. God is for us. Look at your neighbor and just tell him, because you just want to, you need to convince him. You need to speak it over. God is for us. Paul says, if God is for us, that word if, you could probably better translate it this way, since. Because if this isn't if could you could think in your mind, if is, it's not a if maybe or maybe not, if God wakes up on the right side of heaven this morning, you know, then he's for you. If it's, you know, it's not that at all. It's since God is for you. It's the if of certainty. Since God is for us. Since God is for us, who could stop the completion of what he's doing in you? As Paul is not ignorant of the spiritual warfare that's going on around him, he's not ignorant of the fact that Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy the believer. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy humanity. He's not ignorant of what he writes in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I mean, we are in a spiritual battle, right? Spiritual realities are the greatest realities. Paul knows what we're up against. And listen to me this morning. Man, I want to pound this home as hard as I can drive a nail. The comfort isn't what he knows or what we know about the battle. But there's a spiritual battle going on. That's not Paul's comfort. Paul's comfort's not, well, man, I'm glad that came to light, that, you know, that's the play that the devil's running. We're in a spiritual battle, and glad we got a uniform to suit up in the armor of God, and it's all going to be okay because we got the armor. And that's not Paul's point, even though that's true. What Paul's comfort is this: God's for us. In light of the battle, God's for us. In light of the storm, God's for us. In light of suffering, God's for us. In light of temptation, God's for us. In light of mistakes, God's for us. It doesn't matter what you've done, what your struggle is, or how long you've walked in victory, God is for you. Some of you are like, I can see it on your face. You're like, but? Listen, that's not an excuse or a reason for you to live in sin, if you are. It's just the fact that God is for you. He wants to see you victorious. He wants you to know you are more than. That God is for you. Let me ask you a question this week. Is God for you if you sin this week? He's for you. Is God for you if you haven't been seeking Him? Because I've not seen some of you at prayer on Sunday nights for a long time. I don't know. Yes, He is for you. Is God for you if you tied one on or a few last night and said and did stupid things? Yes, He is. He's for you. Some of you are like going, awesome. Listen, it's not a pass to sin. It's just the truth of this great God that He is for you. Why would we say, well, I want to go dabble in this when we know the great I am is this. I'm for you. In saying that, again, we know there's consequences when we make sinful or selfish decisions. We know that. There's consequences. But in that, God's for you. And friend, that's grace. God's for you, He's with you, and here's the reality. God isn't nearly as surprised with your sin as you are. Because when God saved you, He knew what He was getting. And that makes grace all the more incredible. Again, it's not a license to go out and sin. I mean, Paul said in Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. But God is with you. Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that death being maybe physical death or death of because of darkness of our own making, you are with me. Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength and our ever-present present help in trouble. He's for you. When it seems impossible, He's there. He's for you. When you feel like I can't hold on, He's for you. What is Paul saying? Because God is for us, because He is for us and He is God, who can be against us? Is there any power that can stand against Him? If you had time this morning, I take you to Isaiah chapter 40, 25 through 31. This afternoon, take time and go and read that passage in light of what we're talking about this morning. It'll speak to your heart. He's for you. Something seems impossible right now. Since God is for you, who can be against you? The last question Paul asks is this: if God gave us Jesus, won't He give us everything else we need? And the key word is need, right? Not want. It's need. Verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Core question, how much does God love me? Some of you are like, if God loves me, how much does He love me? Does He love me more than my mom? Does he love me more than my spouse? Does he love me more than my dog? Because I know our dog loves us, man. It's all over her face. It's all over her tail. She's like in our grill. She's like, I just want you to know, in case I didn't tell you 5 minutes ago, I love you. When Robin called back and talked to Caleb, like the day before, we got back from Columbia, and Caleb had the phone on speakerphone, and so Robin's like, "Hey, Bella, how are you?" And Bella was like, "Yeah!" and ran to the back door, waiting for the back door to open, waiting for Robin to step through the garage door. She didn't come through, but she was so excited. Man, there's nothing like a dog's love. You can't say that about cats. Their love for you. Listen. Whether it's your spouse, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, whether it's your pet, their love for you doesn't compare to God's love for you. What happened on the cross, verse 32, is telling us was the result of God's love for you. The gospel tells us that God died for us on Calvary, but also he bore the punishment of our sin. And it was our sin that put him on the cross. I mean, it's foundational to Christianity. You see it in the Old Testament, you see it in the New Testament. In Romans 8:32 is evidence that there is now no condemnation, that Jesus is greater. What may have seemed impossible, God says, I'm more than. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. He's writing to believers. He's writing to Christians. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That word graciously, it's the idea of preferential treatment. It's the gold club, if you will. Just come to the front of the line, man. It's excessive kindness. Paul writes in verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Again, God is more than condemnation. Because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He's more than disconnection. He's more than. And he's fighting for you. He's fighting for your loved one who is away from God right now. He wants them to come home more than you want them to come home. He's more than. The worship team would come. He's more than what seems impossible. And I don't know what impossibility you sense or you feel or you are facing right now. I just want to speak to you this morning. He's more than. He's more than that impossibility. Because with God, all things become possible. You know, as Paul is building this in Romans 8, I struggled with how to wrap this up this morning, how to try to just drive it in to our spirit even more. Because as Paul is building this, he's talking about the hope that we have in Christ. And the best way that I could find to try to picture that, you know, the fight may be hard, the fight may be long, the fight may be difficult, but the reward is great. And this picture, I think, paints what Paul is trying to say to us. That picture is called the first day in heaven. I mean, we took communion today, and you looked into the cup, and I hope the Spirit spoke to you. But when you look at that picture and you see Jesus, hugging and embracing the one he gave it all for, suddenly you realize all the more the reality of Romans. And the truth of Romans. If God is for us, who can be against us? Father, as we come to the conclusion of this service this morning, God, I thank you for all that you've done yet today, all that you're going to do in our lives through this day and in the coming days. Lord, may these three questions that Paul asks of us, what then shall we say of these things? And all the great things that we've looked at through Romans thus far of what you've done for us, Jesus, is absolutely amazing. And the question of if God's for us, who can be against us? God, as long as we have you on our side, we have the majority. We have what we need to get through to where we're going. God, if God gave us Jesus, won't he give us everything else we need? Lord, I thank you that you're a good God. You care for us. You see what we need. And Lord, help us just to continually walk towards you, step towards you. Lord, for those that feel really weak, may they know the strength of the Lord. God, for the one here today that has never experienced salvation, may they experience salvation today and call upon the name of the Lord. Scripture says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus, that God rose Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved, Lord. That's a simple statement, but it's a costly statement. Lord, for anyone here or watching online that's never allowed you to be their Lord and Savior, may today be the day of their salvation, I pray. God, for the one here that's in an impossible situation, I pray, God, that in their faith and their heart would rise this confidence to step towards you in the midst of their situation. And Lord, for those needing a healing and a breakthrough, God, I pray today would be a day where that would come. The elders and your spouse that are here today. I know several of them were in first service and some of you here now, but if you could make your way forward and join me up front as we step into this last song of worship. If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior and you've never experienced the forgiveness of sin, man, I tell you what, that is the most incredible encounter that you and I can ever have, is to know that you're free from the weight of your sin and you've received what Christ did for you. If you want to know what that's like, what that's about, I encourage you to come and allow these to pray for you. If you're here today and you're facing an impossible situation, or you feel like it's an impossible situation and you would like prayer, during this song, I encourage you to come and receive prayer. If you need healing in your body or a breakthrough, you know, in some way, then come and receive prayer. Church, would you stand with me? Father, we've come to this point in our service, and it's our opportunity to respond to what you have spoken to us, Lord. We've laughed this morning. We've shed some tears. We've felt the weight of some just need the needs of humanity. God, we've seen your incredible power demonstrated in what you accomplished for us. And Lord, the fact that you are for us. And God, we pray today, Lord, that as we step towards you in a song of worship, that our hearts would just be wide open to you. God, if we need prayer for anything, Jesus, that we'd boldly come forth and receive prayer, knowing, God, that you don't want us to carry those things alone, but Lord, prayer moves mountains. Prayer changes things, but it also changes our perspective. And so, God, if we need prayer, may we just run to that opportunity. And God, as we just spend these last closing moments, fill this place yet again, I pray. In Jesus' name, the worship team is going to lead us in song. If you need prayer for anything, I invite you to come and receive prayer. These up here would love the privilege of praying for you. God bless.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.